May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There was something that I've been bouncing around with some people this week, and that coincides with my desire to kind of focus on Advent theme, what it means to us, what it reveals to us about God's character and God's plan. And again, the word Advent means to come. Just astounding that he would come. You know, we couldn't get to him. But and we talk about the fact that God wants us to be desperate for him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of God. But the reality is that God's desperate for us. Out of a different kind of place, out of a longing, not out of a brokenness. But his desperation is revealed in the fact that he would come and go through what he went through instead of just starting over again. When Adam and Eve fell, why didn't he just start over again? Just two people. But he kept pursuing and paid such an extraordinary price. I mean, the fact that he came at Christmas was so that he could die on Good Friday and raise on Easter for our redemption. But he could have just started over again. But he didn't, because he was already in love with you. Foreknowledge. He's loved you before the foundation of the world. He's loved you with an everlasting love. So it was too late for him to start over. He was already committed. And his heart, desperate for us, drove him to come, to take on humanity. And it just always astounds me, because he knew we couldn't get to him. But he didn't just come when, sadly, many Christians, why did Jesus come? What's Christmas all about? Well, so he could come, and he could die for me, and I could be forgiven, and I can go to heaven. But he came to do more than that. He came to change us. He came to destroy the works of the devil and its effect on human beings. He came, he says, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil does come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus undoes all that by releasing life and life more abundant in human beings. That's why he came. He came with a redemptive purpose. Sins forgiven is just to remove that barrier, so that he could accomplish transformation and wholeness in each of us and restore us to the life we were created to live originally, life and life more abundant. But one of the things when I think about that life, and we've been bouncing this around for a couple of days now, but Jesus said that he was the way, and he was the truth, and he was the life. He didn't say he was life, and we may have talked about this a bit Monday, but he didn't say he was life. He didn't say he had life. He said he was the life, as if he were particularly, specifically pointing out a certain kind of life, the life. And again, if you go through the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John makes it really clear when Jesus is talking about the life, he uses the term eternal life. Many times we think of eternal life as just that we're going to live forever. And as I've said before, every human being lives forever. It just depends on where. So in that sense, chronologically, every human being has eternal life. They're going to live forever, either in hell or in heaven. But when he uses the word eternal life, he's talking about life that's lived in heaven. Life like it's lived in heaven. Jesus described the life that he lived as life from above. And the Pharisees were living life from below. And so the origin and the characteristic of the life that Jesus lived was one as life is lived in heaven. All the supernatural qualities of that. And Jesus said, I am the life. And again, when we lead somebody to Christ, we often think, well, you've received eternal life. And so this is this gift of eternal life, which is something that lasts forever. But what we need to understand is life, eternal life, when it comes to us in a person. It's available to us because this person is the life. 1 John chapter 1 says this. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. It's a weird, he should have said, like, and manifested you eternal life. No, he manifested to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, Jesus, and manifested to us. Eternal life lasts forever. But it's the kind of life that's lived in heaven that lasts forever. And eternal life is in this person who is the life, who's called the eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, it says this, "And this is the witness that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." Jesus came. It was necessary for him to come to start the incarnational reality. Just like he clothed himself in human flesh, that by the person of the Holy Spirit, he clothes himself in human flesh in us. It's incarnational. And he brings to us eternal life, life as it's lived in heaven. Victorious, supernatural life that has the ability, as we move out in ministry, to destroy the works of the devil everywhere. Eternal life always destroys the works of the devil. The life and the power of heaven always destroys the enemy. Light always destroys darkness. But we're called to enjoy the eternal life. Jesus, who has life and life from above, living in us every day. And here's the cool thing. And again, we've been talking about this a lot. The clergy that are here gathered in this Joel Summit. We cry out all the time. How many of you want to enter into a fullness of life to where you're actually experiencing consistent victory and there's the real power of Christ being released in your life? How many of you want that so bad? So that's like the quest of my life. Well, here's the good news. He who has the Son has the life. You've got that life. Everything that you've been longing for, maybe even pleading for, is resident in you because Jesus lives in you and he contains all that and wants to share his life with you every single day. It's a lot harder to think you're going after something that you don't have, and so you're trying to get where it is. Like, what do I have to do? How many spiritual calisthenics do I have to go through to get there? But the truth is, he went through all the calisthenics to get to us. Everything God does is about bestowal. It's not about me earning. It's about bestowing on me things and then me just walking it out in faith. But everything that you long for to get to in your own personal spiritual life, everything that you long to see released through you in your ministry, you got. He came that you might have life. That's why he came. That's his intention. He died on the cross for you so he could redeem you, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's all about life. And then he guaranteed you'd have it by then coming to live inside of you. He could have saved you by just tapping you on the shoulder and saying you're saved. But he didn't just come to save you from your sin. He came to save you from yourself, your fallen, false self. And he who is the life lives inside of you, ready to release that life to you every day. That's what Advent inaugurated. That's why he came. He came for that purpose and doesn't hold it on a like a carrot on a stick. He placed it in you, in his very person. He brought with him the life that's lived in heaven that he wants to live out through you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.